Hey y'all, it's Dana. Just wanted to say thank you and apologize for being so late this week. I've been traveling, there's been a lot going on, so I appreciate your patience. And then also letting you know, we had a little bit of technical difficulties with this week's recording. Probably my fault, definitely not Jessica's. So if you're an audiophile and that bugs you, you may want to skip this episode. That's it, I guess. Here we go. Special message out. Whenever you're ready.
Oh my God.
Jessica!
I've never been called a fox!
Dana.
That's a classy name for a Harry.
I like it classic.
Okay.
Do you?
Welcome to the Rants and Raves podcast.
Sure.
Out with the bad and in with the good, motherfuckers.
That's right.
Jessica!
Dana!
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Welcome to the Rants and Raves podcast. I am Dana Powell.
I am Jessica Young.
And we're just here to rant and rave.
Yeah.
How was your week?
It was good.
Yeah?
It was a nice little holiday week.
Yeah?
Cool. It was very nice. How about you?
Mine was lovely. It was spring break
yes.
in Los Angeles. And so Dan Tipton was working. So my son and I were kind of on our own. So one day I just was like, you know what? We're going on a trip. We just packed up the car and went to Laguna Beach.
One of my favorite places.
I love it. If you follow me on Instagram, it was a heavy post week because it was spring break. The beach was so beautiful. He was such a doll.
Aww.
And then Easter, like, I just really bombarded the public with my
I love it.
Lovely
and
family.
Like a mini adventure every day, and I think that's awesome.
We did. We decorated cupcakes one day.
So cute.
You know, the Cake Boss and Duff, they have this big rivalry.
Yes.
So Duff's Cake Mix is now in Los Angeles. They have a thing, and it's really
like a place
cool.
You can go.
Yeah. You go and you can decorate cupcakes or a cake.
Wow.
And you can use fondant, like all the crazy things that real professional cake makers have. They give you, they have this station. You go pick up bags and popsicle sticks and cutters, and you can make letters or shapes, or they give you ideas for cakes. And they have a laminated sheet that shows you exactly how to make. I mean, it's just cool.
How cool.
And then they have a machine where you take a picture before you leave. And when you open you're a unicorn. And when you open your mouth, you barf rainbows.
Oh my God. I thought maybe that was something that you did with
it. No, they had it there. And then I posted it and tagged them, and they were like, thanks for coming.
That's so fun.
Yeah, it's cute.
Did your son like it?
Oh, had a blast. Yes. Had a blast. And then, of course, chose every dark color of icing possible. And I am that person. I paint my teeth with it. I can't help it. It drives Dan Tipton crazy because it's hideous.
Why aren't there any pictures of that?
Oh, there are pictures, definitely. But it happens so frequently, I don't post them all the time. If I get icing or something that changes the color of my mouth, you're going to see it.
Amazing. You're like, don't you want to use black icing?
I have a video of me with my teeth covered in black icing. I look horrible. I was back home visiting my parents, so God knows I didn't have to put on makeup or get dressed. I'm like, hi, Dan Tipton. How are-? Just the biggest smile with black teeth. He doesn't appreciate my humor sometimes.
Have you ever seen those wine wipes that they sell now?
No, but that's a wonderful idea.
You need those for icing. They're like little packets, like you would have a thing to clean your hands with, but it's a wipe to wipe your teeth because of how stained they get from red wine.
Yes. I saw someone do a character once that was a drunk woman with red teeth, and it just killed me. It killed me.
It's the worst. It's kind of like the dead giveaway. It's the only thing that really does as far as a beverage.
That's why you should only drink white wine. You know, when I went to Laguna Beach, I was like, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to relax. And I know we're going to be there for a while. So guess who went to BevMo and bought herself some wine spritzers?
Ooh, yeah.
In a can, because I'm classy.
That's very responsible. You don't need to have glass on the beach.
No, no.
I mean, I guess anything.
And I didn't need to have a lot. I just brought two little cans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice little refreshing, sparkly beverage.
Yeah.
But isn't that beach magical?
Oh, it's magical.
Like, I love any beach, but it's
and the color of the water. Like,
yes.
Sometimes in California, you know, the water's beautiful, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But it's not, like, tropical where you go and it's bright blue. But at Laguna Beach.
It gets turquoise.
It is turquoise. It's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Shake
Shake Shack. And it overlooks the ocean. So literally you're having burgers, fries, and shakes and looking at the ocean like you're at the most romantic, expensive restaurant ever.
Sounds like heaven to me.
It was heavenly. It was a blast. And it. Quality time with my little bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
That's adorable.
Anyway, so it was a beautiful week.
I love that.
And a nice holiday.
Yeah.
What'd you do for, you don't celebrate Easter, what do you call it?
Well, no, I do. I celebrate everything.
Everything, yeah.
Anyone that wants to celebrate. Passover.
Yeah.
I went and had a Seder. It was lovely. Very small, nice little evening with friends and their little boy. And it was wonderful.
Good.
Passover was always my favorite of the Jewish holidays growing up because there's so many different meanings. There's lots of different symbols. That's why you have the Seder plate. So like you eat a hard-boiled egg because egg symbolizes the circle of life. You eat matzah because people had to leave and not let their bread rise and hence unleavened bread. You have parsley for a taste of spring. Like there's just so many neat
That's really
little,
lovely.
Yeah. And it's just awesome. You sit around the table and the meal is part of the tradition and incorporated into the whole Seder service, if you will. I'm just making that sound so bizarre, but it is almost like a service that you have at the table. And I really loved it because my friend that hosted converted and the other friend that was there is going to be converting to Judaism this year. It's all just a coincidence. And myself and the two husbands that were there, my husband sadly was working, we all like burst into song like we did as
Oh, that's
kids.
Shocking. Jessica bursting into song? That seems out of the ordinary.
But we burst into Hebrew song. It's like stuff that you may not have heard for a long time because some people do, you know, condensed versions of Seders. They can be very long.
So the songs, are they like children's songs you learned in children's church? That's my language.
Kind of children's church. Hilarious. We would learn it like in Hebrew school or at Sunday school. Just like I'm sure you guys discuss the upcoming holidays in Sunday school, right? Like I grew up with all Catholic kids. I went to see CDC almost every Sunday with my friends. Do you know what that is?
No.
I don't even know what it stands for, but that's what they call Sunday school.
Oh, okay.
At the Catholic Church. So when I'd spend the night with my friends, I always ended up tagging along the lone Jew to CDC.
Aww, yeah. That's so sweet.
It was really cool. And, like, my
can I hear just a little taste of a Hebrew song?
Okay, sure. The four questions that's asked by the youngest child at the Seder.
Do we have to go through all four questions?
No,
so.
I'll give you one.
Okay.
Ma nishtanaha laila haza mikol halelot mikol halelot.
What are you shaking with your hand?
I don't know. I'm just keeping the beat.
I thought you had some kind of thing.
No.
Oh, okay.
Maracas. Oh my God. Like the four questions is a very cool part of the Seder because they show like four different children. It's like the simple child asks blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The wise child asks da, da, da. And like one of the first question, Manashnaha Laila Haza, is why is this night different from all other nights?
Oh, wow.
And so like the youngest child will be the one to ask the questions and then they are answered throughout the Seder.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Seder
was also Jesus's Last Supper. As it would happen. So there's a lot of interesting crossover.
Oh, gosh, for sure.
Judeo-Christian.
So all religions have so much crossover. It's amazing if we really actually sat down and looked at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a lot of songs in my brain from childhood, too.
Yeah.
But not Seder related.
Well, Easter songs?
We had Easter cantatas. So that was like the choir would get together and sing like an hour-long cantata with all these songs. It was really, really beautiful. Of course, when you're tiny, it gets boring after the first 20 minutes.
Right.
But, and then at Christmas time, they have one of the churches in my hometown has a living Christmas tree. So they set up they build this big thing where the choir looks like a Christmas tree and they sing all the Christmas songs.
How cool is that?
Yeah. But one of my favorites, I pull it out in improv shows sometimes because it always seems to be on the tip of my tongue. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly or the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. And then we had contemporary things like Sweet Home Up in Heaven.
No.
That was in Children's Church. The puppets sang it.
Absolutely not. Oh, that is rich.
You're so red right now. right now. You're humiliated for me.
No, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I learned some from my friends. You're my rock, my sword, my shield. You're the hole in the middle of the wheel. You're the lily of the valley.
What do you mean the hole in the middle of the wheel?
I don't know.
What's that mean?
Like the center of life?
I understand rock, heart, and shield.
I don't know. Ask Camp High Harbor.
I understand the lily of the Mountains. Valley, but don't call me a hole. And don't call God a hole. I take umbrage at that song. Oh my. Well, listen, guys, if you want more stuff like this, Jessica's going to tell you how to get in contact with us.
You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Rants and Raves Podcast. Our website, therantsandravespodcast.com. Twitter at @raves_the. We're up to 9 followers. You heard it here first.
Oh, my God.
9 followers. Slow and steady wins the race. And again, please rate, review,
subscribe. Honestly, if you don't have time to write a review because people get anxious, like anxiety about that, just hit the 5 stars. That'd be real lovely. That's all you got to do.
Totally. And please, again, every week we have things coming in. I still received this week 2 more suggestions for my hair.
Wonderful.
And I'm telling you, Diva Curl
is really coming out on top.
That seems to be the number one. So I will be treating myself to some Diva Curl this week.
I feel like you have to make a beauty video.
I will. I'll do a before and after.
Yeah. Do the one of those fast forward things where, have you seen those?
Yes. Like a time lapse.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to play Beyonce, "Baby, I Can See a Halo" in the background.
And then when your halo's gone, it'll just cut off.
Yes. I'm sorry, now that my eyes are bulging out, real quick aside, have you watched Beyonce Homecoming on Netflix yet?
No, but everybody keeps saying. Everybody's dying.
I watched it this weekend. It is absolutely electrifying.
I haven't seen that or Childish Gambino's.
I want to see that. I heard that just came out.
Yes.
After we watched that, my friend's like, oh, I heard
Didn't
this.
Didn't they come out around the same time, like around Coachella time?
I don't know.
But we got to get on it.
Yeah, his concert looks... Some of our friends were at a concert this year, or maybe it was last year, but on his most recent tour, and showed clips, and it just looked phenomenal.
Yeah.
He has an incredible voice, too, and is a hell of a performer.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
You got to see Homecoming.
I know. There's so many things.
She has a full marching band.
Of course she does. Okay. Well, should we go ahead and get into our rants?
Yes.
We've already gotten off the rails, and we're only like 13 minutes in. I think I'm first today?
Yes.
Great. Okay, so I'm going to start today. This is from a listener, so I'm going to read you. And, well, Jessica and I have strong opinions. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Hello, Dana and Jessica. I'm loving your podcast. Dana, hearing your voice again makes my heart happy. Aw, thank you. I love both of your laughs and find myself in a better mood with both of you in my life. I love that people think we're a part of their life. Because I feel like I'm a part of their life. I hope they feel like I am, too. Here is my rant. Why? Why do you need to bring up what I am or am not drinking or eat? Why? What business is it of yours what I decide to put in my body? I can't stand if I'm meeting people for dinner and decide I don't want to have a drink and then feel berated about not drinking. I just don't want a damn drink. Who cares? I want to have just an appetizer and a dessert for my meal. No need to comment. I'm eating what makes me happy. I should not feel the need to explain myself to you. Mind your own damn business, please. As always, thanks for listening. Love to you both. I could not agree with her more. I have talked about this before. I even wrote a sketch about it.
Really?
Yeah, when I was in Sunday Company at the Groundlings, I wrote a sketch about it because Dan Tipton came home so angry one day because he works in TV. Right. You know, he's a producer. They eat like kings. Like, they have food every second they're there. They have breakfast, second breakfast, snack, lunch. Mm-hmm. Second lunch, like, it's crazy.
Crafty,
just food sitting out for the taking all the time. Mm-hmm. And so once a day, they would have donuts brought in. And he said, I would go down and get a donut or two and come back. And everybody that walked by would be like, 2 donuts? Whoa. And he said, Dana, when I go down there, the reason I grab 2 is because they're gone quick. And he was like, somebody's eating them. Why am I getting all the flack?
Right.
You know? So I was like, oh my God, I couldn't agree more. So I wrote this sketch about a woman in an office who someone brought in cakes cupcakes for their birthday. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting in there, and everyone that came in, I'd be like, oh, hey, Olivia brought in cupcakes for her birthday. You want one? And I'm eating it. And they're like, oh, God, no, I wish. Can't. Holidays, trying to catch up. And so everyone that came in said that till eventually my character got so mad and was like, you know what? Shoving cupcakes in my mouth, walking around to each one of them going, is this insulting to you? Is this bothering you? Oh, no, I'm eating a cupcake. And I'm just like spitting my cupcake all over all of them while they're just frozen. Because that's how I feel.
Yes.
It is none of your business what anybody else eats, and don't make them feel bad about it. They can live their life.
It's not, and especially when it's two adults.
Yes.
If you're a parent and you're like have rules about what your kid can and can't eat, that's one thing.
Right.
But when a grown adult is eating or not eating, also with drinking.
None of your business.
None of your business.
I don't want to have a drink.
We don't have to speculate. And by the way, sometimes, like she said, she just doesn't feel like it. It doesn't mean that there's an issue. It doesn't mean that you're pregnant. It doesn't mean that you have an addiction.
No
to it
underlying message.
But also, maybe it does mean that.
And that's no also none of your business.
I mean.
Yeah. And people insane. Do it with healthy stuff and with non-healthy stuff. So it's like, if you're eating not healthy, they're like, wish I could eat that. Well, then fucking eat it. And if it's healthy stuff, they're like, ew, what's that? Well, what do you want me to do? Just like intravenously put vitamins in my arm? Is that going to make you happy? Stop judging me.
I also know that some people legit keep to a real strict regimen.
Yeah.
And that is also completely their prerogative. But sometimes people act like they do and are very judgy, but behind closed doors,
they're eating barbecue on the floor off a towel. Why was that so specific? Because I've done it.
Oh, that just made me think of Anthony Bourdain when he went to Alaska.
Oh, I didn't see it.
And they like
brought out
an animal off the floor.
Oh, man. Yeah, my best friend and I think we had both gone through breakups or something. Mm-hmm. So we got all different kinds of foods that don't go together, but we love.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, we're going to have chicken nuggets and burritos.
Sure.
And a rotisserie chicken. And we just laid it out on
all
a towel.
The chickens.
And mowed down. I was on a date with Dan Tipton once, and this was early on in our relationship, and we had gone somewhere with his dad. His dad was out here for work, and I ordered a burrito at this restaurant, and he goes, oh, my goodness, that is enormous. I'd never be able to finish that.
No.
And I was like, well, now I guess I won't. I look like a hog. Like, you limited what I could eat by that statement.
Oh, my God. Anytime somebody says that, whether it's about their own food or commenting on yours, I'm like,
Oh, my God.
We're at a nice brunch once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
It's not like I go to the Cheesecake Factory or Claim Jumper.
Yeah. Oh, I'll go to a Claim Jumper.
But I mean, we're not eating that
every
all the
night.
Time.
Yeah.
So if I go for brunch and there's chicken and waffles and there's two waffles and half a bird and I want to eat it all, then I'm going to eat it.
Eat it. Eat it, Jessica. I would clap for you slowly the entire time because that's how much pride I would have in your decisions. It's true. Don't talk about what people are eating.
No.
It really does.
Or shame them for it.
No. It messes with people's minds. I'm getting ready to tell a story. If you know me or my family. In fact, I'm not going to say who the person is.
Okay.
Some people may know. It's going to come out.
All right.
Okay. So it's just a quick story. And my parents don't listen, so hopefully it won't get back to them.
Oh, boy.
So I was back home visiting once, and I wanted to get bananas. And so my dad and I went to the store, and he goes, well, be careful. Your mom's real picky about her bananas. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, don't you get big bananas. Boy, she'll be mad. I said, that's ridiculous. What are you talking? I try to find the biggest bananas I can. If this is going to be my breakfast, I want it to be filling and huge, right?
Yes.
I'm not going to waste my time on some tiny nanner. And so
I picture you bringing her like a bushel of plantains because they're so tiny.
He got so nervous. He goes, you get whatever bananas you want, but you watch what happens. I'm getting her small bananas.
Oh.
I was like, okay, clearly this is an issue. So we get home because I said, well, why does she have an issue? And here's where I lost my mind.
Oh, boy.
Well, she don't want people looking at her and, you know, thinking things. I was like, thinking what, Dad? Like, I'm trying to force him to say it because I know where this is going, right? He goes, Dana, just drop it. I was like, no, Dad, thinking what? This is crazy. You tell me what she thinks. Dana, I don't want to talk about it. I said, are you trying to tell me that my mother thinks people are watching watching her eat bananas, and then they are thinking of her giving blowjobs.
What?
And he goes, Dana, I said just drop it. So we get home. Oh my God. We get home. And we hide the tiny nanners and just leave the big ones. My mom's unloading the groceries. I hear her go, Gary Jean. Now everybody knows my dad's middle name. He's like, what? She's like, what are these bananas? You know I don't like big bananas. He goes, I got you. Look in the other bag. I got you. And I go, why don't you like big bananas, Mom? Just put her on the spot right away. Okay. I just don't. I said, well, Dad says, I just threw him under the bus. Well, Dad says that you don't like big bananas because you think people at work are going to watch you and think of you in relation to blowjobs. Dana, Renee!
I'm sorry, Gary Jean.
It was legit. Like, you can give people. I don't know what brought her to that, but I know that people constantly were saying to her at work, oh, what you eating? Oh, you on a diet this week? Oh, you met. So she was so concerned constantly that it just escalated to the point that she was like, no, clearly everyone's looking at me and thinking of food porn. So if you ever need to get my parents some bananas, make sure you go for them tiny nanners.
Oh, that's so.
But that's what you're doing to people when you make comments about their food. You're giving them complexes.
Everybody has enough complexes on their own.
We don't need any more. Thank you. That was a good rant.
Yeah.
I loved that because shut the fuck up, people.
Unreal. Well, I have a rant also from a listener.
Yay.
And I'm going to read it. Grown-ass people who refuse to look at a calendar. Oh, I had an appointment at 10 today. Someone reaches out to schedule lunch with you. Pick a date. Says the date is fine until day before when they realize they have a doctor appointment at 11:45. Thought it was earlier in the day. We got to reschedule. I mean, we all have calendars in our phones. In front of us, grow up, rant over. Well, this is...
I understand it.
Yes.
I do understand that rant.
It's also one of those things that I am afraid is not so black and white. Yes, there are people who are habitually late no matter what. They don't have things going on in their day-to-day life that would require or cause them to be late.
For right. Every,
we both know people like that.
Yes.
But I'm going to have to tell you, folks, I have a really bad habit of mixing up dates.
I do too. That's why I was like, I gotta be careful because I'm gonna be a hypocrite. I get what she's saying. I really do. And I have made an effort. You see, I have my old lady handwritten.
I have my handwritten planner too. The problem is,
it's a mess.
Do you ever write the date in your planner, but you've written it on the wrong day?
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
I showed up to a baby shower a week early. There was no one there. And I didn't know the person hosting. Then I was like, okay, well, I'll just go the right date.
Right.
Then I showed up a week late. Like, I can't get it together. And I write things down. I write them on the wrong days. I definitely am late to a lot of things. And I try not to rush when I'm late because I'd rather be late to whatever than early to heaven. So
that's great.
But I am the worst. Jessica, full admission. We record every Tuesday unless we're out of town or something. Yeah. It's just a continent.
Yes.
I told someone that I would meet them at 9:30 this morning and then had to go back on that today and be like, oh my God, I'm so dumb. I record every Tuesday.
I'm telling you, it happens. And sometimes you just get off. Sometimes we both have very unconventional schedules. I forget what day it is.
No, me too.
Legit. I'll be like thinking it's Saturday and it's a Wednesday or whatever. I also have screwed up many dates. I once was talking to my friend and I'm like, I can't wait to see you in 2 weeks. She goes, haha, very funny. In 1 week, I'm like, no, in 2 weeks. And then we got into an actual argument and then she was screaming at me and she's like, Jessica, please tell me me that your tickets are for this coming weekend.
Oh my God.
Because we were both flying from two different locations
to meet each other.
Florida at
a friend's
wedding.
Oh my God.
And I had booked my ticket months ago and I had booked it
the wrong date. Oh, Jessica.
I was devastated. I ended up.
What did you do?
I had to eat it and rebook the ticket.
Oh my God. So much later, so much more expensive, plus a loss. Was it transferable?
No.
Of course. No. Oh my God.
And I also, like you said, going to the shower, I went to my friend's birthday party for her child, but I went a day after. I pull up and I see her husband leaving, and I also notice there's way too much street parking, and I'm like, dang, I'm already like 20 minutes after the start of the party. Am I really the first one here?
Oh no.
And he goes, hey, Jess. I'm like, hey, man. He goes, what are you doing here? Looking all confused. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm here for your son's party. He goes, oh, you're joking, right? I'm like, no. I'm like, what is going on, man? Where is everybody? He goes, Jessica, it was yesterday.
Yep, I've done the same thing. I've done the same thing. I showed up to a Christmas party like a week after it happened with a friend they didn't know. They were kind enough to be like, come in, let's have a glass of wine. But I'm sure they were like, she's insane. They just accept it. They're like, no, she's crazy.
That one would be super awkward. Mine, as embarrassed as I was, ended up being a bit of a silver lining because this was my friend's second child. So she already has a toddler. She had a newborn. I was like, no, I don't want to infringe. I was so mortified. She came to the door. She's like, girl, get in here. And they had had In-N-Out burgers from the day before. And she's like, do you want a burger? I'm like, no. She goes, no, we have plenty. So we sat there and ate. And she goes, you don't understand. This worked out so perfectly. I would have never gotten to spend any time with you. Of course, she'd have a house full
of
people.
She'd be hostessing.
Children running around screaming. Yeah. She's like, now I'm getting to sit and chill and catch up with you.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
But also, I'll leave on this. Twice now, and one was very recent within the last few weeks. My friend had texted some people and said, hey, anybody want to come over? You know, not a late night, but have a few drinks, hang out. So I was super tired and I was not going to go. And then I'm like sitting on the corner of Ventura and Laurel Canyon, and it was like do or die time. Like stay in the valley and go home or go over the hill. And I was like, I'm doing it. And I drove all the way over to his house and got there, and I'm banging on the door and clicking the doorbell like a maniac, sending selfies to him saying, what the hell? I'm out front, fool. Open up. Oh, that's funny. He didn't respond for 3 hours. He was at a movie screening.
Oh.
And somehow everyone else read the text properly. He had invited us for the following evening.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like we're the same person.
Yeah.
And our
insane
listener hates us. What do you want to bet that was actually from one of our friends that was like, you guys, we're going to do it. What do they call it? Not an interception. What do they call
intervention?
An intervention on Jess and Dana, but we're going to pretend we're a listener.
Okay.
It's one of our 9 Twitter followers. Ooh, those were some good rants.
I know.
Oh my God. Should we do a cleansing breath and move into our corners?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is a Rants and Raves podcast. We rant out the bad, take a cleansing breath, and fill back up with all goodness.
That's right.
I hope. So if you're alone, feel free to like take a deep breath in and scream it out. If you're not alone and still want to scream, we're not responsible for arrests. But anyway, here we go. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. That actually felt nice.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like I opened my lungs up that time.
One of the few things that can slightly calm me down when I'm getting anxious is slow, deep breaths.
Yeah, I definitely sometimes, like, if I'm having a hard time sleeping,
mm-hmm.
I will try and do deep breaths
mm-hmm.
to sleep, and with the hope that I get a little dizzy. Oh, there's some information about Dana. Okay, cool.
Too much oxygen to the brain.
Too much.
Love it.
Am I starting the corners this week?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Oh my God, I'm so excited about this one. So this corner, we're just going to call Meh, So Cute. The title of this, I got it from goodfulness.com, which I really love. I get several stories from there. And they also link to other stories if you're looking for good news or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The title is Service Dog Has Perfect perfect attendance record with diabetic teen, so school includes him in yearbook.
Aww.
And we have to post this picture of that dog. I showed it to you,
the
right?
Yearbook picture is
it's the funniest ever.
Also because his head
he's
is
so
like
short.
Barely peeking up.
Yeah, they didn't like get him an apple box or anything. They're like, no, you're a dog. You're gonna pose just like everyone else. So here's the story. At Stafford High School in Falmouth, Virginia, a certain yearbook picture has gone viral, and it is not a student. It's a service dog. Andrew A.J. Schalk is a high school senior with type 1 diabetes, and he requires his service dog, Alpha, to go everywhere with him, including school. It's Alpha's job to detect when Andrew's blood sugar levels are too low or too high and alert him. He is very good at his job and has saved Andrew's life many times. Alpha is well-loved by both the faculty and the students. He's such a part of the school community that he even got his own ID card. I showed you.
Yes.
He has a student ID card and his own picture in the yearbook. Andrew had the idea to put Alpha in the yearbook, and when he suggested it, the faculty were more than happy to welcome him into the yearbook. When the yearbook was printed and distributed, the whole student body, one student, Diana Bloom, noticed Alpha's picture and shared it to Twitter. The post went viral. This isn't the first time a service dog has been featured in a yearbook. An elementary school in Lake Charles, Louisiana, allowed Rowdy, another service dog, to be included in the fun. In fact, Rowdy had been invited to be a part of the yearbook 3 years in a row. That's not bad. The school photographer, Jill Engel, first brought attention to Rowdy when she posted behind-the-scenes pictures of the adorable school photo shoot on her Twitter. People could not handle the cuteness of seeing Rowdy wearing a little bow tie. Look at him. He's got a little bow tie on.
Stop it.
Many Twitter users couldn't get enough. One user, Gentle Ben, wrote, "This is the sweetest angel I've ever seen. What an absolute angel creature. Thank you so much for sharing." Rowdy's a part of the class, and the students have been taught how important his role is in helping Dagan, the student he is with. They know how to behave around a service dog, and they never disturb him while he's working. Both Alpha and Rowdy may be irresistibly adorable, but they are also very important to a much more serious mission. They have allowed the kids they assist to live as normal a life as possible, despite having a shared illness that could complicate things. We hope to see more service dogs involved in their owners' yearbooks, just as a little reminder of how important their roles are, but also because the pictures are just too cute. I love it so much.
It's actually interesting because we never had a service dog, now that I'm thinking about it, at our school.
No, I never did either.
And I'm not trying to be dumb, but I don't know if certain things, like this dog you said is because the child is diabetic.
Yeah, both of them are diabetic.
So I wonder if that is something that happened more recently.
In our lifetime,
as
yeah.
As far as like research being done with dogs detecting things.
Yeah, maybe it's because I've read articles too. They're trying to train dogs. And in fact, I think they have found some support that dogs can sniff out cancer too.
I saw something on TV about that once.
God, animals are incredible.
With a woman, and the dog kept nudging her in like, I think her armpit area, and just kept going. And sure enough, she had a tumor. But I was like, sorry, what?
Yeah.
And it was legit. The dog sensed something, and they went to the doctor and they ran tests, and sure enough,
there was something there. Animals are amazing, man. Not only are they just like healing because of their love,
right,
but like they're incredible. Their
so
senses.
Smart. Ugh. We were talking about that earlier. Treat yourself, people. And on Netflix, go under documentaries and watch any of the BBC series.
Oh, animal
Earth,
series.
Planet Earth, Blue Planet, all of it.
It's incredible. My son watches all of them. The only thing I worry about... He laughs when animals get hunted. He thinks it's funny. Like, am I raising a serial killer?
Like the natural hunt? Like he sees a cheetah going after a baby gazelle or something? No, I think that's normal.
And then he's like, nah, got him! Whereas I'm like crying, going, no, that's not right. I know it has to live. I'm trying to justify in my brain. He's like, nah. He's also going through a phase where he doesn't like bugs right now. Like, you know those big, what do they call them? Flying soldiers or whatever. They look like giant mosquitoes and they're completely harmless.
Oh, like the mosquito hawks we called them.
Is that what you called? I think everybody has a different.
It looks like a daddy long legs with wings.
With wings, yes. So he's going through a phase where he hates them right now. And he's just telling me constantly, just kill them. Just squash them. Squash it, please. I'm like, no, we don't kill unless they're in our bedroom. That's what I teach him. I'm like, unless they're in our bedroom, we'll take them outside if they're anywhere else. If they're in the bedroom, that's you broke deals.
Maybe you can explain. I mean, a kid's going to be scared regardless, so will an adult. But maybe you can explain to him what they do, like other things that they get rid of. Like most people are not fans of possums. Possums eat up to like 3,000 to 5,000 ticks bucks a year.
We trapped a possum from under our house when we first bought it and hired the guy from Dirty Jobs.
Oh.
I can't remember his name now. It's been so many years.
Mike Rowe? Is that his name?
Well, Mike Rowe is the host, okay. But he did a segment on a dude out here that traps animals and then he releases them somewhere else. Yeah, it's humane, you know. So we caught it on a Friday and he doesn't work on the weekends. And he said, if you catch it, just put it up on your porch and I'll come get it on Monday. So we caught it. It started raining. Dan didn't want it near the house. Oh. I was like, too bad it's raining. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to leave this thing out. So we put it up on the porch and then I fed it cat food. And so every time I walked by, it was like perfectly fine. If Dan got anywhere near it, it hissed at him.
Did you start getting stray possums from around the
neighborhood? I mean, you know me. I would, but I can't. We do have an angry pack of raccoons. I've told you about the angry raccoons.
No.
Yeah, we have a pack of like 7 of them.
Are they huge? Because the ones by my apartment are
ginormous.
Not normal.
Yeah. No, I was sitting out on my porch one night and I could hear like this noise. And I thought, what in the world is that? And I turned my light on. I look. There's like 7 raccoons. Whoa. One is the leader. Whoa. And he is coming towards me, slamming his front paws into the ground, going, I literally screamed and ran in the house.
See, I've always thought raccoons look so cute.
They do, little trash pandas.
From afar, but those things are creepy and they're real manipulative and real sneaky.
Like they say, don't feed a raccoon because it'll break into your house to find more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had to, I'm not making this up. Alan and I were outside one night to leave. It was, you know, later in the evening. And all of a sudden, like out of a cartoon, we see 4 little hands on the bushes and something leaning over, and it was 2 raccoons, like one above the other, one, just looking at us, and we both screamed like children. They are huge.
They're ginormous out here. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. They're like the size of silverback gorillas.
They really are.
It's crazy.
Do you think it's... I mean, I know they're in a trap, but I wonder if like in the woods... I don't know how good they are as hunters. They're certainly good as scavengers.
Indestructible, though. How many America's Funniest Home Videos can we watch of a raccoon going in a boat and then blowing it up and then the boat's in pieces, but the raccoon's fine?
What?
Haven't you ever seen those?
No.
I feel like there's a million of them. I'm like, stop trying to blow up raccoons. They're clearly indestructible.
So weird. The cockroaches of the animal world?
I guess so.
Unreal. Yeah. And have you ever seen them walking like bandits on a rooftop and you like hear the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do in your mind?
No.
They walk on my neighbor's roof sometimes in a line. And again, always in a group. You never see one.
They go in packs.
I didn't realize they were pack animals.
I didn't either. Maybe we just discovered that.
They're so...
Dana and Jessica do nature.
Do not feed the raccoons.
I mean, honestly, though, how cute would a service raccoon be?
It is interesting, though. Like, a lot of animals would certainly not advocate to be a domesticated pet, but we've seen things where people take an animal.
I've seen people that have pet raccoons that were injured and can't be released back in the wild.
And things like that.
My dad had a pet squirrel.
He did?
Yeah.
Was it cute?
Yeah.
Was it before you were born?
Yeah, when he was a kid.
Aww.
In his family.
Mm-hmm. Did it stay in the house?
It stayed in the house. It went inside and it finally ran away one day because his sister shut its door in the tail and cut it off.
Oh.
So that's the end of that happy story. Sorry, you asked. You kept pushing. I was just going to leave it at my dad had a squirrel.
I really do push it too far sometimes. My apologies, Gary Jean.
Well, speaking of pushing it too far, should we move into your corner?
Sure.
I'm mad about yours.
It's really gross, and I'll keep it.
Oh, so for some of our listeners, a listener wrote into us this week and said, you really need to give warnings when something's disgusting.
Oh.
So this is a gross one, kind of.
This is the hanky. Well, I made Dana vomit last week.
Just for real vomit.
By sheer mention of something. It really floored me, because you're not grossed out by anything.
No, but body fluids,
and
man.
And I was like, wow, that's what did it. And I didn't even go into any usual diatribe of detail.
I start making it up in my head.
You couldn't come back.
Mm-mm.
Okay, this is in weird news.
Okay.
So maybe this is more of our... You're weird!
Stop it. Go ahead, finish your...
You're so very weird! Why must you bring your weirdness here?
I don't know how you remember it. The only thing I can think is you love it so much and I don't. And you're like, because I said you'll never remember that, you're like, if there's one thing I do before I die, it will be to always remember the weird song.
You know what? When you put me on the spot, when we are live, when we are rolling camera, tape, video, and you ask for me to make a song, you get what you get.
All right.
Now, the best part of this whole gross post is I know how much you love when journalists add puns.
Oh, it makes me furious.
Well, this is going to put you over the edge.
Well, get ready for some commentary.
This is literally from titled Weird News.
Okay, cool.
Pizza restaurant closed after employee puts laxatives on pies. The subcaption, that's a crappy thing to do.
Stop it. This is a privately run website where there is no editor.
It's actually from the Huffington Post.
Oh my God.
A pizza restaurant in Springtown, Texas had to close this weekend after it was discovered that employees had put laxatives on at least one pie. That's a pizza pie for people who aren't familiar with the...
Is this an article or are you just talking? Jessica, is that in the art? Are you really reading this?
I swear I'm reading it. On Friday night, the Springtown Police Department got a call about possible food tampering at a Mr. Jim's Pizza location. Apparently, one of the employees posted on social media that they were putting Miralax, a brand of laxatives, on pizza. We're not going to go down the rabbit hole with this. A, this is horrifying. It's not the first time people have deliberately tampered with food, which is horrifying.
Horrible.
It happens enough, as we see with recalls or contaminants from vegetables or food or whatever. But if you are actually doing that to innocent human beings,
for
there's
no
something
reason.
Really wrong with you. And you know what?
It's not funny.
Again, I'm grateful for idiots because this person put it on social media and that's how they were found.
Yeah, of course you're going to get caught, you dumb dumb.
If they hadn't, people would have just gotten very ill and assumed they had food poisoning.
And that's the thing. People are like, oh man, it's going to be real funny when they're pooping. Oh man, they're gonna be pooping so much. That's hilarious. Well, guess what? It's not funny.
You are a cartoon character.
It's not funny. It hurts their tummies and it's not good for their body.
Also, look what that does to that business.
Yes, and you
lost your job, you big dumb dumb. Good luck getting another one. You better change your social media handle.
Maybe Mr. Jim's needs to hire you for a public service announcement on their behalf.
Listen, Mr. Jones, I feel very, very strongly about this. And I will make fun of your stupid employee.
I mean, unreal.
It's just like,
would it be that funny if he's pooping? Would you be laughing if he had poop coming out your bow?
Nothing is funnier than the face that you have made during this entire time.
I'm mad about it.
I'm revolted by it. Somebody, oh God, I don't need to get into it. You know what? Something worse happened when I was in college at a local restaurant.
I don't understand the need to do that.
I know.
I know they think it's funny. It's not.
No.
People jack off on food. Like, no.
No. Okay.
Yeah. It's not good. It's stupid.
They're also real dumb. Don't be wasting your baby batter on a pizza.
Listeners, I'm sorry. We're going to move on.
We have to
move
on.
Something much more uplifting. Maybe one more breath.
Man, got to breathe out those morons.
Okay. Oh. What would you like to rave about this week?
I like both of our raves for this week, but I'm really kind of excited about this one. It kind of meshes one of our normal corners, or a corner we have sometimes, which is Hollywood. So it meshes that with like a cool thing. I'm going to read this article. It's called Morgan Freeman Converted His 124-Acre Ranch into a Giant Honeybee Sanctuary Save the Bees, which is super important. We'll talk some more, but Morgan Freeman. He's a well-known, beloved actor, film director, and now beekeeper. The 81-year-old.
What?
The 81-year-old has made the decision to convert his 124-acre Mississippi ranch into a sanctuary for bees. The actor first became interested interested in beekeeping back in 2014, where he first discussed his hobby on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. He had only been beekeeping a few weeks prior to his appearance on the show. As in his interview, Freeman spoke about his experience with the bees, as well as the importance of preserving and saving the wild bees in order to maintain a healthy environment. That's very true.
Yeah.
Freeman spoke about why he started beekeeping, saying, "There is a concerted effort for bringing bees back onto the planet. We do not realize that they are the foundation, I think, of the growth of the planet and the vegetation." He had imported 26 beehives to his Mississippi ranch from Arkansas. He feeds his bees sugar water and plants bee-friendly plants such as magnolia trees, lavender, clover, etc. Freeman has admitted he's never worn a bee suit and hat, and they haven't stung him yet. He also has no intention of using them for money or disturbing his hives. Freeman's foray into beekeeping coming at a critical time for the environment. The EPA has blank colony collapse disorder as the leading cause of the bee decline in the last 5 years. If the decline continues, a loss of bees can cause a number of ecological and agricultural issues, since bees play a key role as plant pollinators. Mm-hmm. Very, very true. I love that he's doing that.
I remember seeing a billboard once on the highway and it said, "No bees, no food."
I mean, it's the truth.
It is.
It really is. I don't think people realize
how. Or flowers. I mean, they pollinate every living flora on the planet.
Absolutely. And like, regular bees are non-aggressive.
Right.
I know we've got those killer bees have kind of infiltrated in our, but we still need bees. And so I think it's amazing. I've actually looked into it quite a bit on my own. I would love to have a beehive, but you know, I have a child, so it seems not great. And it's also not easy. It's a lot of work.
Not easy. And I had a customer that lived in West LA that had a, I don't know how he did it. I don't know what his property was like, but it's not like he was on acres or anything like that. And I think if you're in farmland or somewhere where you have actual land or property, it would be easier. It's not so confined or the worry about that. You know, who's big on the bees too is Ian Ziering, who played Steve on 90210.
Or younger.
Sharknado.
Yeah, younger audiences might know him from Sharknado. Interesting.
Yeah, he actually did a talk that I really wanted to go to, and it was at a time I was working and couldn't be there, at one of the last tiny mom and pop hardware stores on Ventura.
Oh.
And he gave like a whole talk about that and educating people. A group out there.
Yeah, there is an organization here in Los Angeles that once a month they give a free class on how to start a bee colony. The thing that makes me sad about it, if your queen bee dies, I think your colony dies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that would just devastate me.
I mean, again, fascinating how that whole system works.
Yeah.
Aren't ants kind of similar? But it's like kind of amazing how they just know, and there's the chosen one.
The matriarch. It's a matriarchal society.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And it works really well. So take a hint, Earth.
Call back to Queen Bey. That's really cool, and I love that he did that.
I do too. Morgan Freeman.
Lives in Mississippi.
Yes, I met him once with my dad.
You did?
Yeah, we went to Eric Stone Street. Was on The Tonight Show when Jay Leno was still doing it, and it was Eric and Morgan Freeman.
Oh wow!
And so I introduced him to my dad. It was pretty cool. He was really nice.
Yeah.
Of course, my dad. He's like, man, pretty cool. I mean, he puts his pants on the same way I do. I'm like, okay.
I love your dad.
He just could not be bothered. He's like, yeah, cool, whatever. He's friendly.
That is so refreshing.
Yeah.
My dad would have absolutely lost his mind.
I introduced them to Keira Knightley one time.
Unfazed.
Completely. My mother, however, could not speak a word. She was like a deer in headlights. My dad was like, yeah, we drove out here. We just like driving, loved to see stuff. Just never stopped talking. And she was so kind. Like, they just had the best. And my mother never said any other words besides, hi, I'm Diana. It's nice to meet you.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know what? I say this with love, but I'll take that any day over my dad, who gets very starstruck. And I remember in my earlier years of living in LA, I took him to Nate and Al's, an awesome, really old school deli in Beverly Hills. And Larry King, she's kind of known. He, at least
goes
at the time,
there.
Was there every single morning.
Yeah.
When I would open the store I worked at the time there, every day, same time every day, 8 a.m., watch him walking by in his jeans and his press shirt.
Guest jeans. Amazing.
I loved it. And it stood out because who wears guest jeans anymore with the triangle?
Nobody.
He did. but we went there and my dad met me, and sure enough, it was a day when Larry King was in there, and my dad lost his mind and like could not contain it. And my dad is not gauche, and he's not a loud man, but he's like unawares. So I'm like, Dad, you need to whisper, and we can talk about this when we leave. I cannot believe that Larry King's sitting right there.
I mean, he is an icon.
He is.
I sometimes go crazy over people you would never think. I think I've told you that before. Like yeah. One time I was at the gym with Amy Procacci and I saw somebody from The Shield and not a main character.
I'm the same one.
And she was like, your arms are flapping in the air. You have to stop. Because I was going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then I ended up having like a weird gym flirt with him.
Oh.
Have I told you that?
No.
Like he knew I was clearly like over him. And so I would see him. One day he got on the treadmill next to me.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, hi. I proceeded to drop my water bottle, my towel, the pencil I hadn't brought, but somebody else left there. Like my earbuds, like everything.
Amazing.
And every time he got off his treadmill and was like, oh no, here you go. Oh no, here you go. I'm sure he was like, what's she gonna drop next? Her panties?
Oh.
Because I couldn't stop.
Were you doing it on purpose?
No!
Or were you nervous?
I was just nervous and a dum-dum.
Because I just pictured you sliding
like
pushing, your pencil
like a kitty
cup
cat.
Like Mr. Hart in 9 to 5. So Dolly has to lean over and pick them up.
I love that your references are my age.
I love that you get excited. Like, look, there's always a moment. I mean, the first person I ever saw when I moved to LA was Dustin Hoffman.
Oh my God.
Putting money in a meter, and I was just stunned. I mean, I didn't act like a fool. I just was stopped and looking. I couldn't say anything. But I get real excited when I see someone that I'm like, that lady, who is that? She worked in the basement of Dexter.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Right?
Yeah.
I got real excited at Aroma one day because I see this guy and I'm like, God, I feel like he's from something, but from a long time ago. Now, uh-huh. He may very well work to this day. I don't know. But I was staring at him for a good 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden, it all came back to me like Celine.
What?
He was the son at the resort in Dirty Dancing.
You still
at
don't
Kellerman's
know his name.
We come together. I lost my mind that it was the son who accused Patrick Swayze of stealing the Schumacher's wallet.
Oh my God.
Uh-huh.
And then you go, I want to tell this person what a huge fan I am. But then you go, he's probably been working ever since then.
Yep.
I don't recognize him in anything else.
Right.
And he's going to think that I'm completely putting his career on this one thing.
Yes,
and be
or
insulted.
Just bugging someone. He was just getting like a coffee and a
yeah.
pastry.
Yeah.
And I just quietly left.
Oh, good for you, Jessica. You know what?
No, I never approach people. The only time I ever would talk to a celebrity, unless it was like a situation and it's just life, right? And I wouldn't be bringing up their career. I used to work with a lot of people from working in Beverly Hills and Santa Monica, meaning as customers.
Mm-hmm.
And once, if they were kind of funny or friendly and open to it, then towards the end, I would say like very much as an aside on the way out, I'd be like, by the way, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, yeah. I've done that before too. I'm getting ready to do VisionCon in
yes.
my hometown next month.
So exciting.
And Jewel from Firefly, Serenity.
Oh.
She was also on The Killing. And I'm such a brown coat, brown coats forever. Like,
that's
such
amazing.
A nerd. And I love one of their hashtags.
Don't know what any of that is.
because you're not a nerd like me.
I have heard of Firefly, though.
Yeah, it's so good, Nathan Fillion. I just love all those people. Mm, handsome. So I told the guy arranging, you know, all the Q&As and everything. Mm. I was like, I'm trying really hard to not freak out. I'm a big fan. Brown coats forever. No nerd left behind. I'm sure they're like,
no nerd left
oh
behind.
No, what have we done? Anyway, here's the thing though. How many of those people are buying 124 acre ranches and saving the earth with bumblebees?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Maybe they are.
I guess it's not a slam if I don't know. Okay, should we move on to your rave for the week?
Yes. This week's rave is called Hamlet for the Homeless. Hamlet for the Homeless is a nonprofit organization serving homeless runaway youth, utilizing the study, rehearsal, and presentation of Shakespeare as gateways to rehabilitation and stabilization through theater. Hamlet for the Homeless seeks to provide structure, purpose, safety, and increased self-esteem to children who struggle to survive the streets.
Mm.
So there's other groups, and there's another one that I'll talk about another day that's also very cool. But I love, again, it goes back to, we talked about recently, 826 Valencia,
mm-hmm.
like creative writing for children. This is through theater. This is like so much bigger as far as its impact when you allow people to be creative and
oh
kind
my
of
God.
Take them out of their minds or use that sadness, anger, frustration, hope, joy, whatever it is, mm-hmm. and allow them to create and express themselves.
Yeah, the arts are so powerful. That's why I get so upset when they're trying to defund arts programs through schooling and stuff, because it really is. I feel like art is medicine.
I totally agree.
You know, and it helps us grow. It changes people. It changes how you think. It changes how you perceive things. It gives you confidence.
Absolutely.
You know, I know people are going to be like, bull, Dana. But I was such a shy, quiet, pudgy little idiot. I didn't
you
speak.
You really were shy?
Oh, I was so shy.
Oh, wow.
I was very friendly and I smiled at everyone and I was kind, but I was very shy. Hmm. Isn't that weird?
I was not shy.
You just stared at me so hard. I wasn't sure what I was supposed to say in response.
It was so weird. No, I know. I wasn't not shy because I was super confident. I don't know. I was always super shy.
I had no voice whatsoever because I think I taught myself not to have a voice or an mm-hmm. opinion because I was worried that people wouldn't like me because I was heavy.
Oh.
So I always say I lost my voice.
That's really sad, but I can relate to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about this before.
But I found it through the arts, through creativity, through writing, through performing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And isn't it crazy when you go back and look at, I always do this, when I look back at pictures of me as a child mm-hmm. and when I first felt like I was fat mm-hmm. or was made to feel that way, and I look and I'm like,
God.
Oh my God.
Not even
close. I was a big kid. I've never been small.
Yeah.
But I had a complex starting at a very young age for a number of different reasons. And
But I think art can, and creativity and finding forms of expression that work for you mm-hmm. can help you deal with those sorts of things. And the thing, and
place
what
is for everybody.
Absolutely.
Literally.
And what I love about this is I also think because arts are not respected as much as I feel like they should be, and it's defunded in public schools and all that sort of stuff, it seems like arts are for the wealthy. It mm-hmm. is a extracurricular sort of thing. It's not always available to those with less. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't ever see a big play, not even a small play. I never saw anything like that until I was older and I had auditioned to be mm-hmm. in Yes Group, they called it, in my hometown, with the Springfield Little Theater. And it was a youth troupe and we went around and did stories for little kids and stuff like that. And one of our big prizes at the end of the year was they took us to the Fox Theater in St. Louis and we saw Les Mis. My mind was blown.
Sure.
I had
an impactful show to be your first experience,
I mean,
too.
I had never even seen a show at Springfield Little Theater when I was a kid. We couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
So that was my first experience. And come on, you can't, like, that experience was so powerful. But that's why I'm saying I love this Hamlet for Homeless, because it mm-hmm. makes it accessible to kids who may not otherwise have that opportunity.
Totally. And as far as what their organization is comprised of, it's, you know, community-based with volunteers, including industry professionals, activists, and advocates serving the homeless runaway youth in the greater Los Angeles area. Mm-hmm. Beyond a future safe haven, our members provide instruction and oversee our programs in hopes of giving the runaway youth a base education to build a structure and future in the art and entertainment industry.
Wow.
And I love that. And again, even if the kids don't go on to that, mm-hmm. it's giving them all kinds of life skills, truly.
Oh my gosh,
but
yes.
Just like there's programs now where people, I don't remember the restaurant, we'll have to look this up and talk about this on another episode. I just recently watched a story about a guy who at his restaurant is specifically hiring kids that are at risk or like coming out of detention centers or programs or whatever to give them a second chance and to give them, again, viable skills. And
love
these
it.
Kids now develop a major passion for cooking.
Oh my God.
And
I
are then
it.
Going on to culinary school, and or they've already gotten all the skills starting out washing dishes there. Now they're the sous chef and they're moving on to other things. I think it's incredible.
It's incredible. I just watched a story this week about a cafe, and I'll have to look it up so that we can talk more about it later. But just the short of it is they employ young people with Down syndrome.
Oh yeah.
And they had a fashion show.
I saw that.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
I loved it so much.
Amazing.
Those kids love working there. It's so great. And their learning skills.
Of course.
You know, like, I just, man, this was a good rave section.
Yeah, I love it.
It made me feel happy. I feel like sometimes I feel like we get on a roll where I'm like, oh my God, that reminds me of this. And that reminds me of this. And that reminds me of this. And honestly, that just tells me if you're looking, there's still so much goodness and joy in the world.
Totally.
And I thrive off of that. And I hope that's what we're pushing out to other people that are listening and not just my craziness.
I totally agree.
I love it so much. And also, guys, if you don't have something like this in your community and you love the arts or love theater mm-hmm. or whatever, it's very easy to start something like yeah. that. You know, start a program where you're, you know, if you used to be in the arts when you were younger mm-hmm. and, you know, life got in the way or whatever, mm-hmm. maybe start a workshop for youth in your, for totally. At-risk youth in your community or whatever.
And so many theaters, unless we're talking about you wouldn't rent somewhere like the Pantages in Los Angeles. But right. outside of like mega centers, if you will, where they're having like Broadway tours of shows, there are theaters all over the country, even in the tiniest towns. And most of them maybe have a few shows going on a year. I guarantee you they're not using
the space that all space the time.
All year long. So mm-hmm. they will happily rent it out. Some people might even donate mm-hmm. their space for the time.
Yeah.
You know? And there's many ways to do that. And like you said, a workshop, like that's something incredible.
I did a workshop once with Michael Reese. Is that his name? Gosh, I haven't seen him in years. But anyway, he's been on a bunch of stuff. He's a Welsh actor. Very handsome. Mm-hmm. Lovely. I think it was through Young Storytellers, which I think you're familiar with. But yeah. we met up with these kids and you meet in the morning. You write a play.
Love it.
And that afternoon you put it on for the parents.
It's fantastic.
I mean, it was a day of my time and it was one of the best days I've ever had. Those kids they blow your mind.
Yeah.
They blow your mind.
My friends actually do that at their place in Atlanta called the Red Door Playhouse. And the kids make their own costume. And no, they're not sewing, but like out of all kinds of paper and felt and whatever.
Love it.
They make their costumes. They write the show. They perform it. And yes, I'm a sap. I cry every time I'm there visiting. And if they have a performance going on, they know I'm going to come to it. And I remember sitting in the audience and afterwards watching parents go up to them. And a lot of people who either their kid was just super shy mm-hmm. or their kid has different, what is the word I'm searching for?
Special needs?
Yes. Uh-huh. Special needs. And for them to say, like, I saw a mother just totally break down into tears. And she's like, my son has a lot of issues interacting with people in general. And I cannot believe what they have done by letting him be included in this. And because they don't tolerate no inclusion.
It's yes.
Like, when they have a group of kids for a week, it's a mix of ages and all different types of kids. Mm-hmm. And everyone is going to be cool and everyone is going to build this thing together.
Because art and creativity yes. and expression is for everyone.
It was beautiful. And she even said for the first time, my son is coming home at the end of the day. Because they'll have like week long camps for them and it's all creative and where they do the show. And he talks about his day.
No, I love it.
And that like made me cry because I'm like, look at the impact. It impacted all those kids. But I'm like, I told her, I'm like, she and her husband work their butts off tirelessly. Mm-hmm. Tirelessly. They have dedicated their life to making children be creative mm-hmm. and feel included and all of that stuff. And I said, they're not the only ones. But even if they were, that has to make this worthwhile to know that you
have made
and they're not doing
an-
it to impact people. But I'm just... It was cool to watch as an outsider.
Oh, for sure.
Wow, look at that.
Powerful.
Yeah.
I love it.
Me too.
Aw, Jessica.
Dana.
I think that's our show.
I think it is.
Oh my gosh. I love doing this with you.
I love doing it with you too.
Doing what? You walked into that one.
Eating large bananas.
Oh, hey-o. No tiny nanners for Jessica.
Oh, my God.
Before we get out of here, Jessica, I think you want to give a quick shout out.
I do. So we greatly appreciate the support of our listeners and some of you that we've gotten to know from you writing in and dialogue that we've had between you. We want to support you as well and give shouts out to your endeavors, whatever they may be. And this is a shout out to Sweet and Salty Stitches.
Now, I have a relationship with Sweet and Salty Stitches. I had another show before this called The Absolute Worst Podcast. And this person, I don't want to out her name, but has always been so supportive. She's an absolute delight and a joy. And if you want something cute, man, check out her shit.
Yeah, she does these amazing hand embroidered sayings and they're hilarious.
Funny. They're so funny.
I'm looking at one right now that's a coffee pot that says pothead. It's hilarious.
She's really great at them, and they're just such unique gifts. She can customize them for you.
And some are just beautiful. Look at this blue jay.
Gorgeous. She did that just last week, I think, and it's she's so fast at it.
Super, super talented. You can find Sweet Salty Stitches, written just like that, no space. That's their name on Instagram. Please check out her work. It's really fantastic and always puts a smile on our face.
Yeah, she's a self-made entrepreneur in that regard, yes. Which I love that.
I love it too.
She's a mama and has her own independent thing going on, and it's awesome.
Yes.
We love you guys.
Thank you.
Well, hey, I have an idea.
Yeah.
Let's meet up here next week.
Okay.
Put it in your calendar.
Oh, boy.
Bye.
Bye.